Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
That's Robert Cray bringing us back, my favorite blues man. Welcome back on Labor Day 2014. Happy Labor Day, everybody. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my new book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Diana Furchgott Roth is our guest, our good friend, the purveyor of Manhattan Institute's economics21.org website, economics21.org. She's the author of Regulating to Disaster, also Women's Figures. She's an outstanding economist and someone we turn to on a regular basis to talk to us about some of the important issues that are happening and that affect us from a policy standpoint, especially. And Diana, one of the things you, thanks again for hanging out with us. One of the things you've been reporting on recently is this tax inversion strategy that American companies are using to by acquiring a company in another country where they have lower taxes and moving the domicile of the company to that other country. And one of the big cases right now that's in the news is Burger King is buying Tim Horton, a similar company in Canada, and they're going to move their headquarters from Miami, Florida, to Canada, right?
Yes, that's right. That's right.
So talk to us about that whole scenario there.
Well, these tax inversions are driven by very high corporate tax rate in the United States that's higher than anywhere in the world, plus we tax companies on our worldwide income, on their worldwide income rather than their income within the United States. But even though President Obama might say it's unpatriotic, Burger King going to Canada, it is very advantageous for the United States, and here's why. If any foreign company wants to take $100 million and invest it in the United States and build restaurants and create jobs, they can use all that $100 million to do that. If a U.S. multinational wants to bring in $100 million, they've got to give $35 million to the Treasury, and they only have $65 million to invest. So say you're a company like Burger King. You want to expand in the United States. You want to bring billions of dollars back. And there are trillions of dollars, Jim, being held overseas just because of this very fact that they have to give 35% of it back. If you just say, okay, my headquarters are in Canada instead of in Florida, and you basically keep your workforces the same, you just do a little bit of paperwork, then you can bring in the whole $100 million. You can build a whole lot more Burger Kings. You can distribute money to your shareholders. So this is good for America. This tax
One other thing we should point out, Diana, is that money's already been taxed by the country where the money was made.
Yeah, exactly. Taxes have already been paid on it. Yes, it's not as though they're but
so,
the United
so
States
if they bring it back, it'd be double taxed.
If they bring it back, it'll certainly be taxed more than it would have in another country. We have a 35% tax rate. Most countries have a 24% or a 15% tax rate. So if they've paid 24% taxes in the other country, they pay another 10%.
Isn't the United States like the second highest corporate tax rate in the country? Is the highest
it's
now?
It's the highest. It used to be the second highest, and then Japan lowered its tax rate.
Oh, good. We've reached the pinnacle in something. Finally, after all these years, we finally reached the top. What an ignominious accomplishment, right?
But also the crux of it is that since we tax companies on their worldwide income, and other countries tax it just on the income earned in that country, that's what gets the big tax on it when it comes home.
Right, exactly.
So but it's already been taxed in that foreign country.
So a number of companies have done this. By the way, is a Burger King case done? Is it going to happen?
I believe the Burger King case is going to happen. You don't have to have approval like you do with a merger.
Right. But they're talking about it, aren't they? There are politicians talking about some kind of a blocking mechanism, some kind of legislation to block this. And President Obama called it economically unpatriotic, didn't he?
He did call it unpatriotic, yes. What's interesting is there have been a whole lot of pharmaceutical and medical device companies that have done it. There's been a whole spate of those, but Burger King is the first fast food chain. And it's really interesting that once one company starts to do it, it gets an advantage over its competitors. So then the competitors are incentivized to do it too. Just like when these big steel companies were dumping their pensions on the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. Do you remember that, Jim?
Yes, I do.
Then once one company did it, then another company had to do it to keep up.
Mm-hmm.
So these pharmaceutical companies were doing it whenever they could, and medical device companies. So now the question is, if Burger King's going to do it, are we also going to see Wendy's do it? Are we also going to see Taco Bell do it?
It's a tax policy driving another layer of globalization, isn't it? Tax policy.
This is really just another
aspect of globalization, and it's being driven by tax policy.
Well, yeah, and these companies are really clever. They're getting around the regulation, just like Uber is getting the ride-sharing company is getting around all these taxi regulations. But this is to the advantage of U.S. consumers, because now these companies can repatriate, you know, millions of dollars back, and that's what we want. You know, here we have people like New York Times columnist Paul Krugman saying, we need government stimulus, we need the government to spend money. Well, now these companies can come in and spend the money with not a dime of taxpayer expense. This is a brilliant move, and we should be praising these companies for doing this.
Besides, after all these years as an economist, Diana, after all these decades of seeing the difference between government intervention and private corporate, you know, business doing what they do best, why are we confused about this? Why are we confused about the best way to stimulate an economy? It blows my mind. What do you think?
It's ideology, pure ideology, Jim.
Yeah, you're right. Ideologue, bunch of ideologues, folks, and right now, they're in control of the government, and we'll see what happens in November. 10 till, right back with Diana Furscott-Roth. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.